apologies for the Deputy Minister, General Basic Elo. Prior engagement, Honorable Makale has lost the mother, who will not be able to come. And Mr. Honorable Sultan, other committees. So those are the apologies that we have. Now going to hand it over to our lawyer from Parliament to lead us in the close by close deliberation.
Greetings to everyone in the house. Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Phumelele Ngema, parliamentary legal advisor, has already been indicated. Chairperson, we basically have four substantial changes that are now made into proposals that the committee needs to consider. I wish to start with the two main things first, which previously the committee had asked me. Before we get to the discussion of the amendments, it was basically on the issue of clause 2, which was speaking to the question that the chairperson raised in respect of the director general's functions as well as the responsibility, as we have indicated here, and whether the appointment as indicated in clause 2 that must be done by the minister and the nominations, and to explain in terms of the Public Service Act as to what then that Act provides. Chairperson, as we will see in clause 2, there is an amendment that relates to Roman figure 3, and the question was also related to 2B under clause 2, which proposes to change the structure of the Wine Certification Authority. It was indicated in the introduced bill that there will be certain officers that will be nominated by the department. And once the nomination is done, it goes further up to the minister so that the minister appoints each and every member within that structure. I was asked to look at the Public Service Act in order to clarify this position as we understand the deliberations when they took place last time. It is clear, Chairperson, that and as the members are aware, the Director General is the head of the operations within the department, and so operationally speaking, there are responsibilities that they need to take care of and ensure that they are properly done. But the minister, as the head as well as the political head, the buck stops with the minister, and the final responsibility of everything that happens within the ministry is the responsibility of the minister. So in this instance, as we can see in clause 1 and number 1, there are then proposals that we change the second department in line 51 as it reads, three officers of the department nominated by the department. That will then change. We are changing the last department that appears there to DG for purposes of ensuring that the person who must perform that task and ensure that the nomination is done is not left as broadly as indicating the department without knowing who takes the final responsibility. But we have indicated for purposes of clarity that we substitute the word with Director General. That is for the first amendment, Chairperson, which is proposed to come into the introduced bill. Then the second one was basically looking at everything, and perhaps even though it was not discussed in the committee, but understanding the position of the committee and also seeing how other legislation is done in this regard. It relates to the remuneration of the same people within the structure, and we indicated that the concurrence needs to be done by both from the Minister of Agriculture as well as the Minister of Finance, so that there is conformity and consistency in terms of how, either for purposes of allowances, travel and allowances, or for purposes of remuneration, that there's a consistency maintained throughout government. So number two, for purposes of clause two, relates to that amendment, Chairperson, that the Minister of Finance must also be consulted in relation to this provision. And then, Chairperson, the second substantial amendment is that which is in clause 11. And because we had to work under pressure while as well consulting with one another to make sure that we are all on board, there are just minor corrections that need to be done there. I think members can note that there is two number three on clause 11, and it was just on ensuring that the drafting standard are properly done there. So the main ones, one up to three, they are just making sure that the amendment is located at the proper place. And so the second number three, which once we have corrected it and when it goes into the B bill, it will appear there as number four and not the incorrect number three. But for clause 11, it's the one that seeks to address the request that was made by the department, which indicates that what other options other than going to court that can be addressed or utilized in order to ensure that the material or the substances that are found not to be in compliance with the law can be easily destroyed or be easily taken out of the market without waiting for the delays and the expenses that are involved in the court processes. So clause 11 seeks to address that, and it's an insertion of the subsection 3 as indicated there under section, it will form part of section 19, Chairperson, and that is the amendment that will be brought about by the introduced proposals for clause 11. And then, Chairperson, under clause 16, because clause 16 is the one that deals with the regulations, it seeks to amend section 27 of the Principal Act. In this instance, again, the first three changes are just to ensure that the proper location of where the changes must take place is effected. So it's just the proper drafting standards that you see on number one up to three, but the main change is that one which is affected by D, because there's already ABC in the introduced bill which amends that existing section, and in this one we are only attempting to bring that insertion which the Chairperson indicated, that as the committee has taken a resolution that for all the legislation that they are now promulgating, they want to see all the regulations and consider them, and then in line with that make their own approval. So subsection 5 is that insertion which seeks to address that and bring it about. We attempted to ensure that it is drafted in line with what section 101 of the Constitution indicates. Basically, we do appreciate that regulations are a delegated function of the legislature, and since delegation is never absolute, that is why there is still section 101 in the Constitution, which indicates that should Parliament desire to have any further involvement in respect of the regulations, they may dictate the extent of their involvement. And this is basically what subsection 5 is then seeking to do. We did not go into details like some of the other legislations would do to indicate this process, but we basically indicated that the minister must table regulations made in terms of this act to Parliament for consideration and approval. The process will be dictated in terms of the rules of Parliament as well as the because there is a committee that seeks to address delegated legislation as well. So all that process will be outlined, but the committee can still also indicate whether we must provide the details or it's sufficient to leave it as indicated there. And then, Chairperson, the other one which I did indicate when last time I was just rounding off is in respect of the definitions. Having looked at everything in this instance, the definition to seek to address that grey area which Daniel Cronje, attorneys, did bring to the attention of the court, we have preferred that because it's for purposes of the Liquor Act, and the Liquor Act is not the one that is being amended basically in this instance, but as a consequential amendment that needs to happen in order that we do not leave any other vacuum or create a mischief that it will be difficult to deal with. That is why then already there were changes that were proposed in the Liquor Act in the schedule, and in the schedule there is a definition that appears for it's the definition for liquor in terms of the Liquor Act. So what we are doing then here now is for purposes that the Liquor Act wants to achieve, we do not change necessarily what the Liquor Act is doing and intends to do, which is basically to deal with licensing when you are involved in the liquor industry. So what we have done in that instance, for purposes of this bill and the principal act, which is the Liquor Product Act, we have said the definition that the Liquor Product Act is seeking to amend and related for purposes of Section 16 and 17 to a limited content of 0.5, that will still remain the case for purposes of the Liquor Product Act and the liquor products. But when it comes into the Liquor Act and for purposes of the liquor product that is defined in the Liquor Product Act, in order that, because they will also at some point have an instance where they become liquor in terms of the Liquor Act, and so as to avoid any confusion and ambiguity and lack of clarity as to whether now the liquor content will be 0.5 or will be 1%. For purposes of the Liquor Act, it remains 1%. But for purposes of the Liquor Product Act and what the amendment seeks to achieve, there will be that 0.5, and then the amendment will then achieve this end result at the end. We are saying the Liquor Act will define liquor to be a liquor product as defined in terms of Section 1 of the Liquor Products Act, which is now going to be all the definitions that we in this Act are deliberating on, and the committee is going to now legislate afresh, indicating what are the liquor products as per the new definition. However, even though we are including the liquor product as defined, those for purposes of the Liquor Act, it will be the liquor products that have an alcohol content of more than 1% for purposes and to achieve all that the Liquor Act is doing. So there won't be any contradiction or confusion in the gray area as was indicated. So that these two, even though they are separate acts, but they must still speak to one another and not create a loophole, a vacuum. Hence this proposal, Chairperson. Otherwise, those were the changes, Chairperson, and the rest remains as is as it was discussed, and these were the proposals that the committee deliberated and gave an instruction that we should look into. So taking the process forward, that the committee will have to consider them, and if they are happy with them, then they will be effected and be prepared properly for adoption and for putting into the big bill, the new bill that will become the bill of the committee. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, honorable members. That was the deliberation of the last meeting, and we should now adopt. The amendment, as was outlined by the Parliament legal team. So, but look at those clauses. The first one, which was maybe before we go into clause by clause, maybe just to look at the issue of the definition, because it's most critical, as you outlined it. Do we agree with that, the definition? Any members, Honorable Stay and Honorable Crook,
Van Dalen.
Chairperson, before we get to discussions on that, I just want to ask a question of clarity. And I remember last time when we went through these bills also, there's some confusion on my side. I can't talk on the rest of the committee. As far as I'm aware, Chair, are we not supposed to be getting this as printed in the bill? I checked the pigeonholes this morning because all members of Parliament are supposed to be getting a A-list version of the bill that looks almost like the B, that it's inserted already in the... I'm checking on process. I understand that this is our discussions of amendment, but I was under the impression that it's supposed to be printed in another version of the bill, which is then the A version or the whatever. I just want to check that as a first before I ask questions, Chair, if we can get clarity on that.
Okay. What the process is like, we're looking at the amendment that has been made by ourselves and adopt them, and then it will then be incorporated into the bill, and the bill will still come here for adoption again, which we'll call the B bill. Honorable State?
Yes, person. Okay, Chairperson. That's fine, but then we can't do the clause by clause today. We can only adopt our amendments. If I want to just understand.
That clause by clause, we're going to look at the amendment in line with the clauses, and it, I must say the amendment is in clause 2, which is changing the department to director general. Agreed, then we agree. So it's not the clause by clause as we are going to do it at the final stage.
Thank you, Chairperson. Then I was confused by the notice of this meeting that spoke about clause by clause.
Oh, okay. Clause by clause just means that those amended clauses.
Then I'm fine, Chair. Can I just then, on clarity, ask a question?
Okay, yes.
Are we going to do it by clause or anything? What do you want
us
to do?
Yes, I said let's look at the definition as she explained, and the interlink of this bill to the other bill, so that we clarify ourselves on that one. If we agree, then we'll then go back to the issues. Yes. Honorable Stein?
Still confused, Chairperson, and I'm sorry for my confusion. Chairperson, I am not sure if we are not going to change in this bill the percentage of 1% and only then say that, I can just get to those, page 14. When we say liquor, a liquor product as defined in Section 1 of the Liquor Products Act. So we are not going to change then the wording of liquor in the Liquor Products Act. I'm not clear on that. I am not clear what our changes mean, Chief. I'm not sure if the rest are clear then.
Okay, no, she'll come back again and talk to it. Honorable Van Dalen.
Yes, Chairperson, I've on page 2, where we talk about, 1, 2, 3, 4, on line 5, the administrating officer and authority, as the case may be, may determine. Would it be possible for us to insert a word there, which would say reasonably determine? You know, you can determine something, but it must be reasonable. I think, would that be possible? Because otherwise I would have a small problem there.
We're not yet there. I want us to agree with the issue that was raised by Honorable Steyn first
on
the definition and the interlink.
I have something totally new what she's
saying. Yeah,
doing, so.
Okay. Honorable Jason?
Honorable Chairperson, what is this? Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I'm sorry for coming late. I was just taking someone. Chairperson, I want to get clarity on this issue of the product being 0.5%. Then when it becomes liquor, it's 1%. So I just want to get, when does it change now? Because when you put something that is 0.5%, then finally it becomes 1%. Perhaps mathematical, I'm not good, I don't know, but I'm just getting lost. Yes, if I can just clear it on that.
Honorable Sander?
Yes, I think I share the same concern. When we had our deliberations on that point exactly, I asked the question of if that making it 1% would change the determination. I think the speaker told us that it won't, but I mean, I need some reassurance that it because we spoke about, we had it deliberated on the 0.5 and the 0 and the 1%, so we need to just clarify that if it can change by the people that are writing the bill, because we don't want to lose the intention of what we are trying to do.
Department and the and our maybe I'm allowed, let me give the department to explain it.
Good morning, Madam Chair. Good morning, honourable members. Yes, so just to confirm, the definition or the scope of the Liquor Products Act will change. It will change from 1%, the definition of a liquor product will change from 1% down to 0.5%. So for purposes of the Liquor Products Act, that deals with the composition and the labeling and the food safety, all products with an alcohol content of 0.5, more than 0.5, will become a liquor product. What the legal advisor was referring to is the definition in the schedule at the back of the amendments that amends the other laws, and to make sure that those definitions are also changed in line with the proposals that we are making here today, the definition of a liquor product will start at 1% in the Liquor Act. And the reason for that is that we don't, that was an unintended consequence, because that Liquor Act deals with licensing. So if we lower that to 0.5%, then it will mean that products that are currently being sold in Woolworths and in other supermarkets, the intention was not to amend the licensing provisions of those products. The intention was only to bring a liquor product, to make it a liquor product so that it comes under the scope of the Liquor Products Act, so that we can deal with the food safety and the composition of those products. So just to confirm, for purposes of the Liquor Products Act, a liquor product will be anything with an alcohol content of more than 0.5%, and that amendment must be captured in the bill. And for the purposes of the Liquor Act, the definition in the Liquor Act, it will commence at 1%. So we won't change the licensing provisions in the other act because we don't deal with licensing in the Liquor Products Act. So I hope I've explained that.
Okay. But I'm becoming confused myself from the chair. I thought I understand. Now you are confusing me. Because I thought this act will then influence that other act of licensing, that all the liquor, when you talk of the liquor product, it will then become 0.5. If now when you licensing it become 1%, is it not the confusion that we is going to haunt us for quite some time? I'm a bit worried about. I thought your changing of this of this to 0.5 will then be able to affect all the liquor products that will be. And even for the purpose of licensing, it will be mentioned that is liquor. The definition should remain the 0.5, but the arrangement in terms of what you want to license might differ. But the definition should not change. Even much change even in that act. That's what I thought. Honorable Stein. And Honorable Malu,
Chairperson, yes, I'm also, that's why I said I don't understand, I'm also confused. I thought that is what we discussed in the beginning and tried to stop. I think we need explanation again, because as far as my understanding of the ideals or whatever, what we want to achieve with this bill was exactly to stop people to put something on the shelf that qualifies under the current legislation as a liquor product but not as under the Liquor Act. People get away under the liquor product to say that they are selling a liquor product, not even a liquor product, a sugar product, then that becomes a legal, lethal, illegal liquor product. If people can then still sell something on the shelf, let's forget about where, and they can then say, yeah, but we are selling it under the liquor product, all that you can do is to test the regulations on the labels. If we have a gap somewhere, how do we, it sounds to me like we have a gap still between that 0.5 and 1%. Although when you test it, it might be higher than 1%, so it will become a liquor. But I'm not sure how are we going to close that gap, Chair. I think there is still a confusion here. We either have to have both of them, one or zero, both 0.5, which will then cause other problems. I need to be convinced that we are going to close the gap for which we tried to start this ball off in the first place, Chair, and I'm not convinced.
Actually, if you remember when we debated, we were saying that it should be clarified so that it should not cause confusion itself. So, and I'm not convinced that it's been clarified.
No, Chair, let me reserve my comment for now and listen to the department. Maybe they have some explanation. Let me listen to them first before I comment, because like all of you, I'm still confused. But let's get a clarity.
So, DG, what are you trying to say? 0.5 is the definition of the liquor, but for the purposes of licensing in other acts, it's 1%. So how are we going to manage that? Because for me, it will create a hell of a confusion, and it's even open for manipulation and all those things. Did you?
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, and greetings to Honorable Members.
I've also, because I was not here for the better part of the discussions on the liquor, trying to wrap my head around the issue here, and I hear what honorable members are saying. But my understanding is that a definition of a liquor product would be anything that has got an alcohol content of more than 0.5. It's classified as alcohol. But until it reaches 1% and over, it will never be require a license for you to sell it. That's the understanding that I'm having. And now the essence that is coming in is that there's a view from the committee to say that, but as long as it's a liquor product, it needs to be licensed. That's my understanding that I hear from here, which is something that would then say that there needs to be a congruence between the liquor products and the Liquor Act. If there's the recommendations that comes from here. But from where we are saying, from ourselves, we are saying our classification of a liquor product is anything with a alcohol content of more than 0.5. And the Liquor Act says if it's more than 1%, then we start to license it. If you sell anything with an alcohol content of 1, then we're starting to license it. That's the huge difference that's coming in here in terms of our point. And I was conferring with my colleagues to say, but the definition is packed from a liquor product. A liquor product from our side and from everybody's agreement is that it's anything with more than 0.5. Now, the liquor, in order for them to police it and to license it, it is anything more than 1%. So that's the line that I understand, and I have attested to this. If I've got to then say what are the issues that we are looking at, Chair, is that there might be a need for a consultation with the Liquor Act in terms of the licensing provisions, because my understanding is that there was an input that was made here in this house to say this might also affect those products that are sold in ordinary stores, retail stores that are here in South Africa, that you might then need to license them in line with the provisions that are there, and you then have got to apply liquor licensing to it, which might be cumbersome to the application of that particular act. Thank you very much. I think Madam Wendy can be able to then give the real input that was given by Mr. Thron during that time when he was here.
We are not confused with that. The issue is that how the two acts are going to work together and be monitored properly. Whether it's it must be explained properly in the bill so that it must not cause confusion, which you said to us you're going to clarify. Because if we regulate, if we want to regulate liquor, we should not be informed by who's selling it where. Is it necessary for us to regulate that liquor, wherever it's been sold, it must be you must apply for license? I think those are the two different things. We must actually, if we agree 0.5 is liquor, so do we have to say, do we have to give it a maximum or a minimum? Minimum to have an amount of liquor for you to license it. I think that's what we must separate the two, so that it does not confuse us. And therefore, then, if it's what we are saying, we're agreeing, then we must clarify it in the act. Do you get me, honourable members?
Yes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to attempt the two acts, the Liquor Act, if we look at ascertaining what its purpose and what it seeks to achieve, hence we had to regulate. It says there, it was to establish national norms and standards in order to maintain economic unity within the liquor industry, to provide for essential national standards and minimum standards required for the rendering of services, to provide for measures to promote cooperative government in the area of liquor regulation, and to provide for matters connected with. This, in the first instance, is because it's a competency that national, provincial, and in other instances at local government where these products are sold, they can regulate for their own specific purposes. And so the Liquor Act, even now as it stands, it is assigned to be under Trade Department because it deals with issues when then in the liquor industry you are trading. Whereas the liquor products, which are products that can be liquor in terms of the Liquor Act and they require licensing, this one speaks to the composition then as to say whatever products that you need them to be a liquor product, for purposes of putting them in the market in terms of the Liquor Act, how must they be composed? Their composition, what must be what and what content and how much exchange. So even though they may seem as if, because we are speaking about liquor in both instances, they may seem to overlap or they may seem unable to function without the other, it is possible. Like the department has indicated that, for an example, if we take African traditional beer, and say, because now in terms of the Liquor Product Act, and if you want to place it in the market for trading purposes, it is now going to be a liquor product. And as a liquor product, they are now setting out, in order for it to be able to be in the market, this is how it must be composed. These are the instances or the ingredients and the quantities it must have for purposes of it being a Liquor Act that is now going into them. For purposes of it being a liquor product that must go into the market. So the Liquor Act, it is speaking to how, in order for enforcement to be possible, how to go about and what people need to know to ensure that they comply, because the law must be certain and be clear. So what the department is basically saying, for purposes of the Liquor Act and ensuring that when the enforcement officers come and they say, we want to see your license, what are you producing here, what are you selling here, is it an alcohol product that has a content of 1%? If it's an alcohol and it has a content of 1%, then the Liquor Act kicks in and applies for purposes of enforcement. And they must check you, everything, to see whether are you meeting all the requirements that the Liquor Act requires of you, which to some degree may even involve the liquor product to say, if you are the manufacturer, we want to see whether whatever is the composite of your African traditional beer, is it in line with what the Liquor Product Act says you must do? So they want to say, if you must put 5% of the hop, show us, are you really putting 5%, because this is what the liquor product, is just an example, because this is what the liquor product says, for it to become a beer or African traditional beer, you must put so much and so much and so much. Then when the enforcement officers or the investigators come, those are the things that would be checking for, in line with your license, which would be issued in terms of the Liquor Act, to say if your license says you are making this and you can do A, B, C, D, are you complying with the license? So they are, in a way, achieving separate functions, but they must work hand in hand, because we are talking about liquor substances, which eventually they are both talking about alcohol. But for purposes of it to be a liquor product, and what the department now seeks to correct, having seen or heard what is happening out there, they are saying for the liquor product, it can remain at 0.5% for purposes of ensuring that whatever the requirements they've set out here, whatever you make, it will be 0.5%. But for purposes of licensing and for purposes of enforcement and for purposes of government to be empowered to do something where people do something wrong, it will still be 1%. Either it's for international purposes or it's for our own purposes within the country. So there's still a distinction, but the percentage as well remain separate. I think it's for the department then to convince the members whether this will be viable and whether it will eventually achieve that which they seek to achieve at the end of the day.
I think what is important is that if department before this amendment, any product less than 1% was not called a liquor before this amendment. Now we are bringing amendment and say anything from 0.5 must be a liquor. And what is the intention? Because it might help us to resolve the other one. Why do we bring this issue now? It was not regarded as liquor throughout. It's now that we are saying this gap here, 0.5, must be included as, must say it's a liquor. Previously it was not. So what is the intention of us bringing that part? You want to respond to that, Seth?
Morning, Chair and Honourable Members. If I could just assist, in terms of the Liquor Act, liquor is defined, and it's defined as follows. Under its definition, it says liquor means a liquor product as defined in Section 1 of the Liquor Products Act. So there's already cohesion in terms of that definition. All that is being said in the Liquor Act now is saying we recognize liquor products as all of these products, well, now going forward, from having a volume from 0.5% onward. However, for the purpose of retail, you will need to license any liquor product that starts with an alcohol content of 1% or more. So I was trying to maybe find the prescripts governing the volume for licensing. I'm sure it's somewhere in the Act. I'm trying to find it. Because I think in there, is there nothing? Okay. So as I understand the technical expert, they basically would say for licensing any volume over 1%, you will require license. We accept that liquor products start, the volume can start from 0.5%, but as from 1%, you will require a license, and these are the prescripts to be followed. Thanks, Chair.
That's what the question is.
The assumption is...
Just link to that before you ask. What was the initial definition before this amendment? It was 1%.
Yeah.
And you decided to move from 1% to 0.4. And cause this whole confusion. Whilst there was no confusion before. And then that goes back to the question which the chairperson is raising. Why? What is the rationale behind this thing?
Is maybe it will assist chairperson. What I don't understand is if it's a liquor product and it has and it becomes a liquor product from 0.5%. So why don't they need a license for from 0.5%? That's I think what the question is, and that's what is causing the confusion. Yeah.
Honorable Chair, that is why I was saying I might have missed something last week, because knowing the definition in terms of the Liquor Act, it would define liquor, and liquor is defined as defined in the liquor product. So whatever is in the liquor product would go to the Liquor Act. Now, the introduction of 1% is meant to deal with something else. The current practice. Now, it would dictate that if we change the Act, current practice would fall to 0.5. And I am not too sure in terms of maintaining the 1% how that came about for us to go to remain with the 1%, because our intention is that we should regulate from 0.5. And therefore, by default, Liquor Act would then go to 0.5. Because now we are actually saying that the Liquor Act would have a different a definition of liquor from the Liquor Product Act, which is something that is really not happening in this circumstance. Mm. From my own perspective, I'm just saying without having that knowledge in terms of what was indicated the last time around. Thank you very much, Chair. So reconcile between the two, liquor and alcohol, because I'm getting more confused. There's a difference between liquor and alcohol, because it's all liquor but different in terms of percentage. What is it? I'm getting confused.
Get the department to assist us. Is that you have the legislation previously the legislation said anything more than one, then it's called liquor. Now they are taking down to 0.5, which might be good for some of us that we hate liquor. But the question is, then you are saying for the purposes of licensing, it must be 1%. So we're saying, why this confusion? Why if we're saying, because there was a gray area before.
Yeah.
Now you are clarifying ourselves what is liquor. So why is not affecting that act? And remove this for the purposes of selling, and because liquor is liquor. If we want to regulate it, let's regulate it. Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, yes, I agree with you. I think just to give the background that happened is initially the intention of the department were to harmonize with national, international legislation, and also to harmonize with the Foodstuffs, Cosmetics and Disinfectants Act at 0.5%. And then Danny Cronier attorneys came with a submission, and they said there's going to be problems in terms of trade. But I do, that was the department's initial intention, was to harmonize and ensure that the liquor products, a liquor product definition starts at 0.5%. So it is contradictory to have two different definitions of liquor products, and perhaps we the House should consider going back to that initial decision and ensuring that liquor products are defined and start at 0.5%, that you don't have this the different definitions, and we stick to the one definition. Mm-hmm. And the people in the trade, what they can do is they can lower their alcohol percent to lower than 0.5%. If they want to sell that product still in a supermarket, they can lower the alcohol below 0.5. Otherwise, they'll have to license, and then they sell it in as a liquor product in a liquor store. That was the initial intention.
Yeah, that's what we wanted to achieve.
Confused that.
We agree with what you say. Yeah, it means we, you know, it means we'll have to go back to submissions made by other stakeholders who had a serious problem with this arrangement which you are raising now, because they did make presentations, they did indicate how is it going to affect their business and what is in their shelves and so on and so forth. So we'll have to consider all those, get deeper into those and begin to think properly as to whether are we going to create serious problems going forward for the country and for their businesses, or what are we doing exactly?
But you see, I don't see any difficulty. If Woolworths is selling champagne, which is more than 1%, and they then have a problem to license 0.5, I'll have a serious problem. It's we cannot nest the. I don't know what to call it, but I don't want to use the wrong word. Because for me, you are nursing something that's not actually helping the country. If you legislate the liquor, why should I say in the shelf of somebody there is product of 0.5, therefore? Because the intention is to know who is selling liquor to our people. That's my understanding. And we'll start to look at retailers, yes. And then we'll if you dare to test, you go there. And if in Woolworths you have wine, which is more than 1%, why is it becoming difficult? Because that presentation for me, I didn't understand what is this man wants to say to us. Because if they are selling wine, they got license for wine, why they can't get license for this one?
Yeah.
Why should it become a problem?
It's a liquor.
So that one I didn't want to entertain it, but yeah. I just felt really we cannot legislate to suit this. You know, we're leading country of 57 now, million people. Now you must nurse those that are drinking 0.5 in the shelf of somebody. No, you can't have such things.
You see what is my difficulty, Chair? I understand what you are saying. But you see, the reality of the matter is that we have invited the public to make submissions. They have made the submissions, both written and oral. And in the engagement between ourselves, the stakeholders, and the department quoted a section in the Principal Act, which you are not quoting now. I wanted to listen, and she's not listening, she's talking to the DG. I want you to listen. You quoted a section in the Principal Act that talks about what is the right term? Is it exceptions or something like that? You quoted that section thoroughly, and you went into town about it. And you even went to say that it will not affect them because the minister. But what is the term that you used there? Was it Section 19 of the Principal Act or Section 17? I'm not sure. You quoted that section. And today you are not referring us back to that section.
that says there will be exceptional circumstances or something like that.
Mm.
We are not referring us back to it. Mm. And if we are not referring us back to it, it therefore suggests that we'll also have to amend that particular section. Unless if you say to us and maintain what you said when we were together, where you said, no, it will not affect you and so on, because under exceptional circumstances or whatever word you are using, you will be covered, those who are having this product, that is between 0.5% and 9%. And 0.9%. I'm not sure which section was it, but I would want you to go back to it. Because I want us to be very clear, because I don't want us in a certain meeting, we say this thing, then in another meeting we say something else, and so on. Then people will treat us as people who are not honest. When we are with them, we say this thing, the next time when they are not there, we change and we say another thing.
Honorable Sandan?
I hear to what the honorable member is saying, but we invite comment and then we can do that comment what we want. We can listen to it or we can reject it. I mean, nothing says that we have to take it into consideration if we don't feel that, or if it's going to create another gray area or another loophole. We want to close the loopholes. I think that was the committee's intention in the beginning. So I just wanted to say that, you know, if somebody brings comment, we can consider it. We apply our minds. It's not like we told that person, no, we will consider your stuff and we're going to use it. We didn't tell them that. We asked questions on clarity on that. So we can still apply our own minds. That's all I wanted to say on that issue. Thank you.
Okay.
We want to say something? Just to respond to Honorable Malloy's question, I'm not sure which section that is, but what I would suggest is prior to the meetings, I had a consultation with Donic Cronje attorneys about the specific issue, and informed him that the only way around this would be to lower the alcohol percent to below 0.5. But as you say, there is unintended consequences, so you're quite right that it will impact on trade. I think that was the reason why we tried the previous committee decided to see if they could accommodate the suggestion. But what one could do is, when the regulations are published, one could have a phased approach and not immediately implement. This is something that we have done with the regulations before. When there's an impact on industry, that you have a phased approach to allow them time to move from the 1% down to 0.5%, because they'll have products in the marketplace that obviously you can't just remove those products. So that's something that one could also consider as a means, as a solution.
0.5. Is this international norms or standards? So, if I might get clarity, because if it's international, we want to align ourselves with international, there is nothing wrong with 0.5.
Mm.
We should then agree that we must align. And then those that are selling liquor, for the purpose of selling liquor, they will actually apply, because I think it's changing the definition even in that act now. Because it was based on the grey area, which was not existing, the 0.5. It was not regulated. It was just regulated from one. If now we have to go back to international standard, we'll say 0.5. Even for the purpose, if we say liquor is 0.5, it's liquor. And if the other act define, it must define as liquor as 0.5.
Mm.
But if the for the purposes of licensing, which is said is 1%. It depends on us here, whether we, Parliament actually, whether we agree that all liquor must be licensed, or this 0.5 doesn't have a harm or doesn't contribute to any whatever that you are preventing. You regulate the 1%. I guess 1% you regulate because it's got. What is the intention of regulating it? Because if it's 1%, you must license. It's for the purpose of collecting tax or looking at the impact that it's having on society. So if it's for the purpose of collecting tax, it's something else. The 0.5, it might be seen as you increasing in the tax base as government. But if it's for the impact of society that you feel you want to regulate it for the purposes of knowing and managing people who are selling the liquor and how it's actual impact on your community, something else. So those are the two things that we're supposed to look at, and you know, I think let's agree then what we do. Do we leave it as 1% for selling, and but we define liquor as 0% because it's international norms. Honorable Van Dale, Honorable State.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, I think we are now clear on what the problem is. I would like to find out from the department if they, when you have to license a liquor product, I think someone mentioned that it has to be done every year. I need to check on that, if it's a yearly thing to re-license. That regulations go through via trade and industry, so someone needs to pay an amount. What is that amount? And then, again, Chair, I think you asked the question about the international norm, which I think is 0.5%. My question would then be, does the department know what percentage or how big is the market out there between 0.5% and 1%, which will then have an impact then on certain industries, people that are selling it. I don't know who. I think I know the product that they are talking about. I think there's some 0.7% alcohol percentage in that. I want to then also hear that currently, without us amending the acts, which bill or which department is then supposed to regulate between the 0.5 and the 1%? So if I put a product on the shelf, say it's a 0.5% on the label, sell it as a 0.7%, but it's 15%. I'm just making an example. Who regulates that now? Because I think that's what we want to stop with what we are doing. So currently, who would be responsible for something like that? Because if 0.7% is on the label, but it's something else in the context, who will be responsible to check that currently? Chair, and I think that the question that we need to ask ourselves is, who do we want to protect? Because as far as I can understand, if it's not a liquor product, any person can buy it. You can give it to your two-year-old child currently. And is that what we want? Children can go in and buy it because they think it's a cool drink. It doesn't fall under the same regulations. It's not in the same section as alcohol. So is that what we want? And I think we need to discuss that, Chairperson, and then I think if we can get some answers on that. What will it cost then to license the other products? What does it cost on a yearly basis? Thank you, Chair.
Okay, Honorable Fandan and Honorable Malu.
Yes, Chairperson, I just also wanted to check on what Honourable Steynet said, is that if it's sold by the supermarket on the shelf and it has a an alcohol content of 0.7, would the child be able to buy it in that shop without any control over it? I just wanted to check that if that is, if, because that would never be the intention. The intention would be to regulate it so that children cannot buy it. I mean, if it's 0.7%. So I just wanted to check on that. Thank you.
Department, we want to talk to that.
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. Good morning to Honourable Members. Starting with the Honourable Stein, it is the responsibility of DAF, of the Department, to check the content, to verify, to ensure that the content complies. If it's 0.5, it should then be the responsibility of the Department to enforce that. Just while still on it, okay, let me first maybe come to Honourable Vandal's question. Yes, unfortunately, if it's not regulated or in the current situation we are in now, children can buy the they are referred to as non-alcoholic beverages, shandy and all of those. Children can buy shandy. It does have an alcohol content of less than one. So 0.9 is less than one. 0.95 is less than one. So that children can buy access that.
See, we don't want that.
Thanks.
So hulle sê dis shandy, hulle sê daar is alkohol in nie.
Ja,
maar daar
is alkohol in.
Hulle sê dis alkoholvrye
bier. I will be able to respond if I may. The current situation, if we don't amend the Liquor Products Act and we leave it at 1%, the scope of the act, then Department of Health are currently looking at foodstuffs between 0.5 and 1%. But they only look at labeling, and they look at the they have an additive list. So nobody is actually looking at the content and the composition. So there is actually no control over those products at the moment. And as Dr. Sarachia said, it can be bought by any child. And we have just quickly done a desktop search just to confirm whether the international standard is 0.5% for a liquor product, and it is indeed 0.5%. So we need to harmonize for that purposes. And as you say, as the chairperson has said, what is the purpose of what we are doing here is obviously to protect children from being able to drink alcohol or eat alcohol, if you want to so call it, without knowing, because that is what will be happening.
Yeah, you know, that's the only danger is that you buy something because it's not, you're not aware that there is alcohol in. You know, there is the sweet that I like most of the wine gum. Have you ever eaten them? And you become active after eating those
sugars.
Yeah, so...
Maybe they
have
alcohol content of less than one.
Yeah, so I'm just saying that those are the things that we do on daily basis without
knowing
the implications.
Yeah.
But and if indeed we want to move towards increasing, because the main purpose, these issue must actually again contribute towards achieving the maternal what do you call it, that target of sustainable goals, one of the sustainable goals. It's contributing towards that, so we shouldn't, I think. The only challenge is that you know, department, when you regulate, when you talk to the industry, seemingly you become so more softer, and you become more softer on them, and because if indeed these things has to protect children, has to protect those that they don't want, you know, sometimes like issue of brining, that's one of the things. You have sugar diabetes, you have been told not to eat salt. People are putting salt in the meat, they were not being told.
Mm-hmm.
Every now and then you go to a doctor, I've got problem. The sugar is going up every now and then, and the high blood. So, which is the something that we've been fighting for again on labeling and all those things. And the issue of labeling is one of the critical areas. So, I think let's agree that we agree on 0.5. And for the purposes of selling, there must be license. All liquors must be licensed. So if you want to sell it, let it be licensed, be known. Because one of the areas, because this act must be able to assist us to close other gaps.
Yes.
One of the areas that we have not done very well as government is labeling. And it's the same trade and industry which is supposed to deal with the issues of labeling and yourselves and health. So they will have to... I think one of the things, because Mr. Kronji, one of the areas that he raised, it's red tape.
Mm.
You have to go to province and municipalities. So if the Liquor Act itself is been harmonized, that it eliminates red tape, there shouldn't be any problem. Because the issue is what we was raising is red tape. But us as Parliament, our work is to protect citizens and agree on this 0.5.
Right, yeah. We agree.
Can we then look at those other amendments? I think we're clear on this one now. Yeah.
Yeah.
We agree with the page 3, line 51, on the replacement of department by director general.
Yeah, it's best practice.
Is that one of nominate three officials nominated by director general.
Mm-hmm.
Then the number 2 is on page 5 in line with 20 after minister to insert minister responsible for finance, which we have agreed on.
Mm-hmm.
And then on clause 11, number 1 on page 9, from line 39, to omit by the substitution of section 1 of the following subsection and substitute 2, page 9, after line 40, to insert the following A. I'm not going to read this thing, you have your document. And then 3 on page 9, in line with line 51, the second full stop, and to substitute that again. What is called the system better? Comma. And then 3, page 9, after line 51, to insert the following B, as indicated in your document, and then C.
Can I say something about that? That is where I wanted to ask the question,
okay.
Chairperson.
Yes.
On page 2, 1, 2, 3, 4, on the last part of that insertion, where it say the authority, as the case may be, may determine the cost. May I say, may reasonably determine the cost. just to make it a little fairer. Otherwise, you would get a difference. But there would be some reasonability in it. I think that would be fair. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I doubt that there'll be any issues with adding the word reasonably, because it just expresses what the PAJA Act also already expresses, that whatever public power is exercised, it must be exercised reasonably. So either we infect it or it aligns as the Act stands, there won't be any harm, Chairperson. It can be done.
Can we accept it? Well, I must accept. What is now? Chairperson, where are we now?
Close 20.
Oh.
No. I didn't switch off my mic. I'm
close 16.
Yeah, we didn't hear you, Chick. Can I say something on close 16?
Okay.
3D. The one that we were discussing, Chair, about the regulations. Chair, I'm not sure. Unfortunately, I didn't check other legislation. But the way it's in here that says the Minister must table regulations made in terms of this Act to Parliament for consideration and approval. I don't know if we approve in Parliament other pieces of other regulations. I have two questions, Chair, to the Department. The first one is how many regulations do you make on a yearly basis? What will happen in November, December, January, February when Parliament is not sitting? Because I know departments like to put things on the 24th of December and the 16th of December and the 1st of January when we are not, when we are trying to go on holiday and leave and all things are being put through during that time. So what will happen when we don't sit? How many regulations do you publish for this Act on a yearly basis? Secondly, if the department knows if this portfolio wants to bring all regulation and new acts to that's our discussion that we had, but we need to think of the practicality. How many regulations are published by this department on a yearly basis, not only for this ball, all balls? I want to check our own red tape that we're going to make for ourselves as Parliament and as this committee. Then secondly, Chair, maybe to the legal advice of Parliament, is that the norm to go to Parliament? Because are we not then shooting ourselves in the foot as this committee? My proposal would be that it reads something that someone needs to think out the clever words for. I don't know that. But it must be tabled to this portfolio, and then we can have an opportunity to either call the minister or to discuss the regulations or whatever, but it doesn't have to be specifically approved by Parliament itself. I want to check the norm of other portfolios. I'm concerned about the way it's worded now, Chair. I really think we do need to have some sight of what is published and what is going on, and an opportunity to call the minister and the department if necessary if we find anything that is very bad, but I don't like the way it's worded at the moment. I think we're going to shoot ourselves in the foot here.
Okay. Department?
Thank you, Chair and Honourable Members. Thank you also, Honourable Steyn, for raising that one, because between us, Department, and the Parliamentary Legal Services throughout the weekend, we've been engaging and discussing on the very matter. Mm. Just to start at the end of your questions, Honourable Steyn, for Liquor Products Act, you easily publish two regulations twice a year, if not more, because that happens responsive to trade out there as and when things change. Mm. We and it's a lot of the very voluminous document, and we from department side, I think we're trying to respond to what the committee raised. The committee raised a desire or a need to put maybe a clamp on the regulations. We are also very much still hopeful that it may not require us to amend Section 27 of the Act, the Principal Act, which says the provides for the minister to set the regulations. And the same is with other acts and bills before the very same Parliament. In the current practice, we have ministers setting regulations. And from experience, it just happens to be smooth, because we, much as we would consult widely on those regulations, it makes it easier for us to have them going through. But again, like Honorable Stein has said, maybe the Parliament should look for another way of having the minister or even us accounting, but not necessarily having to approve regulations, because that will just stifle the whole situation. So we would really appeal and plead with the committee to consider allowing the minister to still set regulations as per Section 27. Thanks.
Okay, maybe let me check with honourable members. When we were dealing with other bills, we took a decision around this issue.
Mm.
Can I get legal team to remind us so that we don't go forward and backward? And can I allow her to give?
I think my
to remind us. You want to remind me?
No.
Okay.
But they could have dealt with mine as well.
Thank you, Chairperson. My memory is not serving me well on exactly how we dealt with it, whether we did it on the performing animals bill that we recently finalized last year. But Chairperson, I think what we need to be clear on moving forward on this provision is the expression that is provided by Section 101(4) of the Constitution, which basically speaks to two instances: when an instrument is tabled in Parliament and when an instrument is brought to Parliament for approval. When you table an instrument for Parliament, it's basically just for information purposes, and there's nothing further that Parliament needs to do. But as we can see in subsection 4 of 101, the Constitution speaks to both instances, and it's an enabling provision which says national legislation may indicate the involvement of Parliament it wants to have when dealing with regulations or any other sub-delegated instruments, which may be proclamations or, but in this instance we are speaking to regulations. So the Constitution enables Parliament to choose the option it wants and the extent it wants to have when dealing with regulations. And in this instance, as the Chairperson had indicated, there was a position that for legislation moving forward, Parliament would prefer to be involved when the regulations are being promulgated as well. But as the Department has indicated, practically, that is what the committee needs to take into consideration. But just as a way of example, there is, if you look at the South African Police Act, it provided there to say the regulations referred to in paragraph A must be submitted to Parliament for approval. Roman figure one then specifies, at least 1 month before promulgation if Parliament is in session. And Roman figure two says, if Parliament is not in session, within 1 month after the next ensuing session starts. So the details can be decided by the committee as to the extent how much they want to be involved and how it must be done. But it is not an anthem. It is something that is being done, and it's also allowed by the Constitution itself as we look at Section 101, Subsection 4. The details is what the committee may need then to define, or either we leave it as indicated or we specify to the explanation as to how it must be done. And it is a resolution of the committee at the end of the day, Chairperson. And it is legally permitted, and the Constitution itself enables the committee to do it as Parliament. Thank you, Chair.
Yeah, I want even to remind honourable members, when we took that decision, we say we have passed a lot of legislation. In some instances, where when you check why are not implemented, it's because of regulations.
Yeah.
That's one of the things that informs us to take that decision, to say that we would want to be part of the regulation, so that we see to it that the legislation that we pass are being implemented, because regulation has been one of the impediments for the implementation of this act. So, Honourable Fandan?
Sorry, can I ask you?
Okay.
Chair, I just raised the PAFA one quickly, the one that we went through Parliament. We did not put anything in the regulations there.
Yes. Chairperson, the way I understood is, or the way I thought about it when it was raised in the committee, was that we never see the regulations and we would want to see it. So what I thought would happen is that we would see the regulation and we would be asked for comment on it, or, you know, if we get it to in front of Parliament, we would have some time, we would be part of the commenting to see if it works, so that we can familiarize ourselves with it. Now what they hear our legal representative is saying is there's a two-step approach. The one is for information and the other one is for approval. But I think that's two steps. If we get it in Parliament and we decide, look, we are not in agreement with these regulations, we can always call or have a meeting and call the people here and to ask them about it. But I mean, we don't have to go the whole nine yards right now. We can phase it in, I would say, so because we never get it before. We want to see it, so they must submit it to this committee, and then we can have a look at it, and then if we see something wrong, we can call them. I think that would be a better approach now, until we see that we need to intervene in more of these matters. Otherwise, I can see we are going to make a lot of work for ourselves. We don't even have time to come to this committee to do certain issues. I've been raising a lot of issues. I don't want to get into it, but we don't have enough time. Now, if we have to come back twice a year to look at different regulations on different bills, which reports to us, our committee, that's the only thing we'll be busy with. I'm telling you now. Thank you, Chairperson.
Now, if you remember, Honourable Fandal, we said that the department must bring the regulation for PAPA. They've not brought them.
Mm.
We said they must bring the regulation for fisheries.
Mm.
They've not brought them.
Mm.
So, plant breeders, right? Not all. We've said that. We've announced. It's just that we've taken a decision and asked them to bring those things. They've never brought them. So, you are hoping for something that you might end up waiting for until you retire. So, if it's mentioned in the bill,
yes,
then they'll have to, we give it, yes, a time frame, then we'll have to get it.
I agree with you, Chairperson. But not with the wording as it's here.
Hmm.
Chair, if we remove an approval and just leave it there for consideration, I don't think it will be a problem.
Yes.
I think the problem is with the approval.
Yes.
Because approval, it will mean we must discuss it here, take it back to the house and so on. Just leave it with approval.
Yes.
Consideration.
We can agree with that.
Yeah.
What would consideration mean?
Chairperson, I'm happy with that. I also think then in practice it would mean that when we do the consideration, we are welcome to call the department. Like in any normal meeting, we will call them and say, we are now considering these things, there's certain things. So it makes us a stakeholder,
yeah.
Which is, I think, important, Chief.
Yes.
Okay. No, I think we agree.
Yeah. On number three.
And then the page, the last sentence means that we must remove that sentence because we have agreed on 0.5.
Yes.
Honorable Maloy?
Yeah, I'm back on this chair, but just going to be a very short comment. You know, I've said the department must remind us when we're dealing with this aspect as to which answer did they provide. And I'm not speaking on behalf of who's this person that we've been mentioning for Woodward. I'm not speaking on behalf of that. I'm speaking on behalf of deliberations that were taking place in the committee. You know, you spoke about granting of exemptions. I now have the term now that I have the Principal Act. You spoke about granting of the exemption between the 0.5 and 0.9, that the minister can grant exemptions and so on. Now that the committee have taken a decision that talks about 0.5, what then happens to that section that talks about the exemptions? Do we still maintain it that the minister can grant exemptions between 0.5 and 0.9, or are we amending that section as well?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honorable Sir, I can't recall the exact one that they referred to, but if we look at Section 4 of the Principal Act, it is basically giving a clear blanket prohibition, which says, no person shall sell or produce for sale any product with an alcohol content, now it's going to be 0.5 instead of 1 for drinking purposes. And in terms of what then the department has brought, the authorizations that had to deal with those exemptions by the minister, they were in Section 10, and now they are taking out Section 10 by saying it must be repealed. So I'm not certain as to where exactly then are we still saying the exemption would transpire, because if Madame next to me can recall, because she's the one who made reference to that section specifically which was speaking about the exemptions and it's still standing. But Section 10 of the Principal Act in terms of this proposal is going to be repealed, which means that process would fall off altogether once the section is repealed.
Okay. So Minister will do exemption on 0.0 until 0.4, because 0.5 is liquor.
Chair, I'm referring to Section 11, subsection 5.
Section 11, subsection 5.
Yeah, the principal act.
The principal.
By the way, I'm not the one who was explaining this thing, it was yourself, so you must explain it better even today. The question I'm posing to you, does this suggest that you must then amend that section that deals with the granting of exemptions, which you explained fully in the previous meeting, and I was happy with your explanation, up until you decided to make a tactical detour today.
I think we must not pressurize department to do, because we were asking question for clarity. Today we are deliberating. That's why we take decisions. So don't make them to reverse back to their thinking. Here we are taking now, the bill belongs to us. We are taking decision on what they've been saying to us. It's upon us whether we agree or not. Don't pressurize them to go to.
Now, you know, Chair, you must understand from where I'm moving. I'm saying, what will be the implication for Section 11 that gives the minister the power to grant exemption now that we have decided on 0.5?
It must fall off, actually. Honorable Ben, before yourself.
Chairperson, I am thinking back to last week when we discussed it. I cannot remember or recall that we discussed this section at the time, because I don't think section 11 is under debate, so we wouldn't have. I can recall, and I when Honorable Molloy first mentioned it this morning, I was thinking back. I can remember discussing exemptions when we discussed the forestry bill. It was that department, that one mining one in KwaZulu-Natal, and I can even look back at when. I can't recall us, but now that the Honourable Member has mentioned it, I would like to know what is going to happen with this section, because if we change it, what other kinds of exemptions could the Minister then make according to this this point? Because I think the one on 0.5 is, when we discuss it tomorrow or whenever we're going to discuss it, will be put in stone. But there could be other exemptions that we're not even aware of, which could be problematic then. And that is why, Chair, the regulations must come to us. So if there's problems in there.
Department?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The portion on the exemption should remain in under Section 4 of the Act. Just to respond to Honourable Molloy's question, Section 11 will remain as is. There should not be any changes to that. But the ability for the Minister to grant exemption has to do with our international obligation in terms of agreements that we have, for instance, with the European Union. We had a wines and spirits agreement from 2002 that's been replaced by the economic partnership agreement that was negotiated between South Africa, the EU, and SADC countries. And for those, in terms of that agreement, some of the provisions of the Act does not apply to some of the countries in Europe, and some of, and so we, the Minister must be able to grant exemption from the provisions of the Act. So there might be technical requirements that differ. If I can just give an explanation, for example, the volatile acidity for South African wines may not be more than 1.2 grams per litre, but for instance, if it's a European wine made in a certain way, then it may be 1.8 grams per litre. So that's the type of exemption that will be granted in terms of the agreement between South Africa and the European Union. That's just the authorising principle for South Africa to be able to honour our obligations in terms of those international agreements. Thank you.
Is it clear, Honourable Members?
Yes. Thank you, Chairperson.
Chair, I hear what the presenter is saying. I'm going to leave it, but I must just say to you, if you read that section, it says grant exemption under such circumstances and subject to such conditions as may be prescribed from a prohibition referred to in subsection 2 and 3. Subsection 2 and 3, if you read them in full, they are not only talking to what we are talking about. But okay, it's fine, Chair. I leave it.
Wine Certification Authority. Section 2.
No, they want to respond to what I just said. They can, because I see they're whispering to me. I want them to whisper to the whole meeting.
Honorable Molloy is actually right. So he's correcting his assumption. He's correct in saying that the exemption relates to the 0.5%, but it actually has to do with beer powder, that is under, that's brought under the scope of the Act as well, because of the lowering of the 1% to 0.5%. There's certain beer powders that is used to for home brewing, and that are will then be made subject to the Act. And if the minister then should decide that could be excluded for the purposes of obviously if it's going to be for sale, it will come within the ambit and the scope of the Liquor Products Act. But that's something that can be exempted.
Chairperson, I'm very glad that the word beer powder has been mentioned, because I have been informed that this whole thing of beer powder is a very big business in South Africa. And I actually wanted to find out, how does it work then? Under which act does it fall then? Where if you can then exempt under this circumstances, and when you mix the beer powder, maybe just to explain to other members, it's like this boxes that you buy in the store, but I'll make the cake recipe one, where you buy the already mixed products, and you put just cooking oil and one egg and water, and you mix it and you bake it, and then you have a cake. So apparently there's such a thing for beer. There's a yeast and a sugar and a something, and you mix it all together, almost like you would make kubote che. Everything is already in there. You buy the products in one box, and you go and mix it, you put it in water, and you put it in a drum. But the alcohol context of that mixed, finalized product will be quite high. I don't know. I don't know how high it will be. So if you can then sell the products, which doesn't fall under any law then, but when you've mixed it, it becomes something else. Where would it fall under? Chair, which I think is good that we then discuss this thing as of the exemption. So if the product that you sell is not alcohol, but after you've mixed it, it becomes alcohol, where would it fall? If we can get some clarification on that, Chair. Because I don't think we can stop the selling of the product. It's, people have just gone and put it all together in one box to make it easy for you.
Okay. And I thought we were very clear in terms of giving example with mkombuchi, that to mix mkombuchi is sorghum and what is this thing? Kinko. Yes, that's African beer, which is attached to customs. But if you mix, if you put something, a Smirnoff, inside that African beer, it's no longer an African beer. It's very clear, it's something else.
Mm.
So it falls within the big, the regulated areas, like your beer. If, like, if you buy, you know, there is the one that is called Hammer.
Hammer.
You put sugar and ginger and put water. Then, razor. Yes, resin. That was. And after that one, it become something else. It's no longer a ginger. It become a liquor, which I'm not sure the content. But it's actually been done. It's not been sold. It's been done during parties and. So if you want people to get drunk quicker, now they're even putting the strong your Smirnoff and other things inside, so that you get people get quicker, they get drunk quicker and go home, so that you can now sleep after the party. Because if it's Hammer only, they can stay until the morning because they don't get drunk. So is what. Yeah, I must go home after the party. No, I'm just saying it make your work faster and quicker. The party gets to its mood and people get tired within the particular time, and then we can finish off. Because I know there is a regulation in municipalities that by 12 o'clock, no gumba gumbas, no what. Even though it's not been followed in some other in other areas. Even taverns must actually stop at 2 a.m. You are not allowed to sell after 2 a.m. So if people want to go home being activated, you know,
wine
gums, then put other things into the... even if you give the pure hammer, they'll get a way of putting their thing inside. Well, not being, that one is the issue. You can't even test it because it's got its own Smirnoff in the pocket. Then you go and get the ginger as been prepared by the person who was organizing a party, and they mix it with something else to make it become more alcohol, that they get drunk as soon as possible. So I think it's something that you might not regulate. The good part would be the Smirnoff has been regulated. So even if you put it inside that been regulated, you'll have to go and buy it where it's mentioned to be a liquor product. So can we then pass on note that the issues that is raised by Honorable Maloyi would be looked at the exemption on 0.5 thing would not be there because we say the liquor is still, yeah, can I, maybe I must not confuse it. You say the it should remain. So minister will then give others to continue having that 0.5 being not being regulated. Is it what is meant?
Honorable Chair, I think the Chair's introduction to the issue and the recollection of what transpired last week in terms of the African beer would find expression in terms of this exemption. And that's the exemption that you are looking at in terms of Section 3, is it B, in terms of that exemption. Thank you very much.
We can't hear you.
You say African beer because it's a custom related, therefore it can be more than 0.5, or is it what the exemption? Because I'm trying to understand that what is meant to this exemption, because if you exempting people that unkombot. If it's more than 0.5, therefore people can just do it, they don't have to apply for license because it's attached to custom. Is it what you are saying?
Chair, if I can try to explain again.
Yes.
Section 4.1b of the Act currently states, no person shall sell or produce for sale any product, including but not limited to a powder form, which combined with any substance or liquid will have an alcohol content of more than 1% and is intended for drinking purposes. So this relates to the question that Honorable Stein has asked. If you have a beer powder and they sell the beer powder in the cafe on the corner, and a child may get hold of that beer powder and add water to it, it becomes a liquor product. So in the past we had problems that children were buying this and there was no control over it. Now this has been brought under the scope of the Liquor Products Act. But there are apparently beer powders that are used for customary purposes and all other purposes. So the intention of this exemption is to grant the minister the authorizing or the authority to be able to exempt those types of beer powders if he so wishes, if there come circumstances where this needs to be exempted. But at the moment, it falls under the scope of the Liquor Products Act and it needs to be regulated. That was the intention.
Thank you. So I'm referring with African beer in particular, because it's defined what is African beer, and you don't have to get permission, or we are convinced that is not. What will then be the content of the liquor in that in African beer? We need the content, because even if it's attached to customers, because the customer, you don't drink it so much, you just use it a little. So,
Chairperson, if African traditional beer is produced and for selling purposes, then it's something else. The liquor product that kicks in. So the exemption for African traditional beer is for only when it's not being presented for sale. So if it's a traditional function, that's where we do not necessarily come in.
So you know, these things of customs are going to be having trouble. You know, I remember when I was at the other portfolio, there was a day when we have this Heritage Day celebration, Heritage Day, where they were supposed to use to invite all the ancestors, and there was a group of other, a group that needed Smirnoff to call them. So in some some, so I'm asking myself, in that case, it's not for the purpose of selling, but you have to have Smirnoff to call other ancestors. So what do you do in that case? You allow it to happen, it's fine, it's a custom. So it was done. I was officiating, because I was then. You remember there was when we were opening Freedom Park, the processors. Yes, the other custom was the ancestors of the other nationalities. You have to have Smirnoff and Jack what? Yeah, Jack Daniels. So to call them. So it's a custom. It was a custom-related thing, because we were calling the ancestors to come and be with us in the Africa, as we were going to open the Freedom Park. So in that case, it doesn't have a problem. It's not for the purpose of selling.
It's only exemption, a blanket exemption, is of.
So it doesn't have a problem. That's what we're saying.
Except, Honorable Chair, Smirnoff itself would have had to comply with the requirements for sale of Smirnoff. Mm. On the other hand,
okay.
So that it complies, but for as long as the function, if yeah, that is not for sale in any way.
Yeah.
But except to say that the whatever other alcohol, Smirnoff or Jack Daniels would have had to comply with the requirements of it.
Okay. So can we, Honorable Stein?
Ch-
Chairperson, I think we are becoming very technical because as far as we discuss it, they're not traditional African culture. Not that I know it so well, but I have had some kumboti before in events. I did not call the ancestors chair, but I did have traditional events. So if we add other things, I think it's then outside of the act, and that's what we were trying to say from the beginning. If people want to say it's a traditional cultural thing, but they add other things that's not traditionally in there, it becomes a problem, and then it must be stopped, because that is exactly when the problem starts.
Well, on the same page, me and you. But I'm saying I was officiating one function where it said the other ancestors of a particular nation, you have to have Smirnoff to call them. So.
Not Tebdre.
So, but I've been answered. They are saying because it will be for the purposes of custom. And Smirnoff would have been regulated, passed the test of regulation. There's no problem.
I drink the Klipter for that, Chairperson, not Smirnoff.
What? can we pass this on, Honorable Maloy?
No, Chair, I just want to suggest that we must agree with your initial summary on this matter of exemptions. That before we finalize this section, our legal team, including the department, I know that I started very early with meetings this morning. Possibly I might have a mental block. But what I want them to do is to go and read thoroughly Section 11, Subsection 2 and 3 in full, not in brief. Because the problem with what you are doing now, you are just selecting a sentence, you're not reading the whole thing, which will create problems for members to end up adopting something which will require us to come back again to have an amendment. So I want you to go read fully that section and those subsections, including the one that deals with exemptions, and then come back to us and say whether is it necessary for us to interfere with that section that deals with a granting of exemptions or not. Because from where I'm sitting, I'm not convinced, because I think they're just selecting some sentences, but they're not reading the whole thing. Thanks, Chair.
Agreed.
I think
we're agreeing. The legal teams will look at those sections and as we're going to deal with the bill, we should then be reminded on those issues and agree on them. Can we then get the mover for the A-list as discussed in this meeting? Honorable Stein?
Propose, Chair, that we accept these discussed and changed amendments again, Chair.
Can I second it?
Since Honorable Jay said I second the mover for the adoption of the A list, which will let us start
which
the bill, then will proceed to the other level,
which
we have the B list.
Amend.
And thank you very much for the department and our legal team for the good work that you are doing. Thank you very much. Honorable members, you can strike for 2 minutes and then we will get the minutes. Strike for 2 minutes. first. And we allow department and those that have other engagements.
You must give the whole ANC caucus one gun.
Close by clause. You can say that because the stronger is amendment. Two original views. You understand? By landowner members, they will put them. You understand? He closed by clause, but they will be still coming.
The
capture right. The song were up and up. So now.
I forgot something in my suitcase.
I think with this one.